The catalyst. People and more people. Clearly, the biggest catalyst for change in our world is the sheer number of people who now share the Earth and finding the ways to meet their daily needs. In 1968, biologist Paul Ehrlich and his wife, Anne, released their sobering assessment of what we can reasonably expect from the growing numbers of people in our global family. Three sentences early in their powerful book, The Population Bomb, say it all. Quote, "The battle to feed all of humanity is over," the Ehrlich said. In the 1970s, hundreds of millions of people will starve to death in spite of any crash programs embarked upon now. At this late date, nothing can prevent a substantial increase in the world death rate, end of quote. During interviews, the authors have stated that the purpose of their book was first to create an awareness of the problems stemming from the world's growing population, and then to call attention to the suffering that was inevitable if the growth trends and demand for resources continued. While the book was criticized for its unsettling predictions of human suffering and mass starvation, the authors believed that their book actually achieved the goal that led to its writing. Quote, "It alerted people to the importance of environmental issues and brought human numbers into the debate on the human future," end of quote, they stated recently. In their follow-up work, The Population Bomb Revisited, they responded to the criticism by saying, quote, "Perhaps the most serious flaw in the bomb was that it was much too optimistic about the future," end of quote. Well, in addition to natural cycles of change that we have no control over, arguably the single greatest factor driving our time of extremes is the very topic that the Ehrlichs described in 1968. It's Earth's growing population. While the epic suffering and death they predicted has in fact occurred, it's happened over a span covering 4+ decades rather than the compressed period of the 1970s and the 80s they originally projected. The sheer number of people now living in our world, the sheer amount of resources needed by each and every one of them each and every day, and their desire for the energy-intensive lifestyle popularized by Western culture are perpetuating a self-sustaining loop of conditions amplifying our time of extremes. We see an example of such a loop developing between the growing populations of countries like India and China, for example, which together account for about 38% of the people in the entire world and their emerging demand for energy. As more and more people in these two countries enjoy new levels of prosperity from globalization, booming industry, and higher-paying jobs, they're following the Western model of what that kind of success has looked like in the past. They aspire to have the same luxuries of multi-car families and commuter-based communities that have been identified with affluence in Western cultures since the boom of the post-World War II 1950s. It's these ideas of affluence and the way they're expressed that create a vicious cycle that demands more energy to power more homes, more climate-controlled office buildings, more public transportation, and more private automobiles, which in turn create more opportunities for more people, and so on. The sheer number of private automobiles produced on a global scale gives us an idea of just what such a demand actually means. As recently as 2006, the world's automobile industry produced about 50 million new vehicles each year. In the space of just 10 years, however, that number increased to over 60 million vehicles per year. In other words, in just 10 years, 10 million new vehicles per year, approximately 165,000 each day, were added to the roads of the world. The problem is that the energy needs created by this modern phenomenon are still being met by the energy thinking of the last century. Gasoline remains the preferred way to power our automobiles. This is where the cycle is pushing against unsustainable limits. Gasoline comes from oil, and when it comes to the effects of a growing demand for oil, from the increased emissions of greenhouse gases and the health-threatening pollution that it produces to the effect of higher-priced fuel in the world's economy, the implications are immense. Whether it was the environmental protests of the 1960s or the scientific warnings of the 1970s, concerns regarding the world's population and the fact that the growing number of people is the trigger for greater demands upon shrinking resources are certainly no secret. it may be precisely because we've heard about the problem for so long, without any meaningful signs of a solution, that we sometimes feel absolutely overwhelmed even thinking about it. Feedback loop number one. More people, more energy, more people, more energy. The statistics for the world's population tell us that the number of people on the Earth was under 500 million for nearly 11,500 years. When we look at how that number has grown in such a relatively short period of time after being so stable for so long, the question is why? What could have driven up the number of people living on Earth so quickly? While various factors play a role in answering this question, including the warming of the climate following the last ice age and the discovery of agriculture to sustain communities, one factor stands out from all of the others. That factor is the undeniable link between people, energy, and food. The question is, which came first? Was it the growing size of Earth's population that triggered the search for more food and a fuel source that could meet the people's energy needs, or was it the discovery of an abundant and efficient source of energy that led to the ability to grow more food and the rise in our population? Well, depending upon which researcher we ask or what study we reference, there appears to be evidence supporting both scenarios. The dynamic relationship between energy and people is beautifully summed up by Canadian ecologist Paul Schaeferke. Quote, "It's obvious at a glance that food, oil, and population are tightly related," he says, "but the nature of their relationship is open to interpretation," end of quote. Describing the perspectives that are possible, he states, "If you were an economist, you could say that as the number of people grows, we go out and grow more food and find more oil to meet our growing needs. Conversely, if you're an ecologist, you might say that increasing supplies of oil and food allow our population to grow. Or you could say, as I do, that they all exist in a complex feedback loop." End of quote. Regardless of what we conclude has driven the rise in population and energy consumption, the fact is that the discovery of cheap and accessible fuel sources is directly linked with the largest increase in human population in the history of the world. The first doubling of the world's population in 1804 illustrates this relationship as it coincided precisely with the rise of coal as a global fuel source. Coal was so abundant and inexpensive in Europe and North America in the 19th century that it quickly became the standard for heating homes as well as use in the industry. While it was certainly used as early as the mid-1700s, the mining and the processing methods and railroads needed to pull the coal from the ground and move it in large quantities to where it was needed were still being developed. It wasn't until the mid to late 19th century and even the first half of the 20th century, that coal became the energy of choice. By the end of World War II, however, the use of other fuel oils, such as crude oil and oil products, became safe, efficient, and cheap, although this led to a decline in the use of coal specifically as the preferred energy source, it continued the growing relationship between people and energy. Today, we find ourselves at a similar crossroad to that involving coal and oil in the last century. This crossroads is triggered by the shrinking reserves of cheap oil and the new forms of energy that are filling the void. This includes harnessing renewable forms of energy, as well as tapping into mammoth-sized reservoirs of natural gas that are turning the energy equation of the world upside down. The key here is that the use of inexpensive energy that's easy to access correlates strongly with the rise in population. The use of cheap energy gave our ancestors more time for leisure activities because their focus shifted away from survival. And it's this higher standard of living that led directly to the explosion in population. To put such a growth into perspective, between 1926, the year Elizabeth II was born, and 2013, the Queen of England witnessed the population of the Earth rise from 2 billion to 7 billion people. The marriage between people and cheap energy that began 200 years ago continues as our global family now is projected to reach 8 billion to 10.5 billion by the year 2050.